Let's give God praise for his faithfulness today. Amen. Today we begin a brand new series that I believe is going to shape our lives in a really big way for this year. And I just want to say, I believe with all my heart, Mark, that 2018 can and will be the absolute greatest year of our lives. It's not something that's going to happen by chance. It is something that's going to happen by choice. I don't believe in accidental living. I believe everything happens because somebody takes a step and positions themselves to make it happen. Now, the good news is, according to Psalm chapter 65 verse 11, that God the Father himself has already crowned 2018 with his goodness, and it is dripping with his abundance. He's already prepared amazing things this year for every single one of us. Things that your eyes have not seen, things that your ears have not heard, things that you have not and could not have even imagined yet. But his Holy Spirit, according to what Jesus said in the book of John, is prepared to reveal to you the things to come. It's already there. Somebody say, it's already there. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it's waiting for you. It's already there. It's already waiting for you. And it's up to each of us and all of us to press into God's best this year. And I just want to say today that you can be as close to God as you want to be in 2018. Amen. What you can be as close to God as you want to be this year. What he does next is dependent on what we do now. I believe there's an expectation already rising in the room for what God wants to do. And so this month, we want to show you how to possess his best. How many of you are ready to possess God's best? Come on, how many are ready to possess God's best? I'm not going to preach to you unless you preach back at me. I'm giving everything I got. Come on, how many of you are ready to possess God's best? All right, I think you're getting close. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, let me set the framework for you. The book of Hebrews is an absolutely amazing and theologically deep and saturated book that God has given us. And chapter 11 is phenomenal. We call it the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith, because it goes one example after another about mighty men and women in the Bible and how they accomplished amazing things that history looks kindly on them for, and how they did something great for God's glory. And what we do is we say, man, if somebody made it in the Bible, they were really special to God. And we think, well, that's them and that's for them, and we're different and that's not for us. Can I tell you, Jesus himself said, greater works than I did shall those who believe in me do, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand right now, expecting, looking for, anticipating, and waiting on somebody to believe in him, take him at his word, and reach out and just ask him to do what he's already done before. Come on, I believe at Victory Church, we're experiencing God. I believe at Victory Church, we're seeing the pages of this book come alive in our hearts. I believe that's the fire that we're gathering around on cold days like today. There's something burning on the inside of us, and it is the word of God stirring us to be greater people than we've ever been before. Can you say thank God today? So we're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and here's what the word of God says. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. Somebody say impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. How many of you believe that God is? Let's start there, that he exists. You must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you see that? God's best belongs to those who are willing to press in and possess what he's already made available. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not stingy. He's not keeping it from you. He is a rewarder. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to credit cards or anything else, I like rewards. We like to be rewarded, don't we? God says, I will reward those who seek me. I will reward those who come after me in faith. And so then we see today that this gives us a definition of faith. Faith, very simply, is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is. Somebody say, God is. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. And when you believe in God, that's faith. Faith is believing in God. Faith is more than a moment. Faith is believing in God for a lifetime. Faith is more than your problem. Faith is a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen today? Faith is believing in God. I want this to permeate every aspect of who you are today. I want it to be ringing in your ears this week. Faith is believing in God. What is faith? Believing in God. What is faith? Believing in God. What is faith? What is faith? What is faith? Believing in God. What's believe start with? B. What's in start with? Not in. What's God start with? G. B-I-G. What's that spell? Uh-oh. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's time to increase your capacity. It's time to increase your capacity. It spells big. How many of you here today believe in God? Amen. Come on, if you believe in him, just give him praise. Let's take a praise break right now. We praise you, Jesus. If you believe in God, then you already have big faith. Somebody say, I have big faith. Come on, say, I have big faith. Now, here's the deal. Big faith is a big deal. Big faith comes from a big revelation of a big God. Let me say it again. Big faith comes from a big revelation of a big God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I grew up my entire life reading the Bible, and I'm blown away how I could read it so many years and never understand it. I grew up in church. I spent my life reading the Bible. I was a Bible-reading blank denomination. And they said, I'm blown away that I never understood it. Till I came here. That's the power of revelation. There's a difference between hearing and hearing. You can't just read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. Come on. You can't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says it like this. So then, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. What is faith? Nah. What is faith? Believing in God. How does faith come? What is faith? Believing in God. How does faith come? Come on, there's people listening on the CDs we're recording. What is faith? Believing in God. How does faith come? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to hear the Word of God. And so this morning I want to give you some truths that are going to enlarge your capacity for faith. Let's go. Here they are. Number one, faith is the key to pleasing God this year. Faith is the key to pleasing God this year. How many of you want to please God this year? Maybe you say, Josh, I don't feel like my life has been pleasing to God. It's real simple. You can start right here, right now, very simply by believing in God. That's a big deal. Hebrews 11:1, without faith, it is impossible to please him. The reality is Jesus is looking for faith in us. He said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? God is looking for somebody to believe him. And when he finds those people, they accomplish incredible things. Actually, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, we see the mind of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as they're talking before Jesus leaves heaven and comes to earth. And here's what they say to each other, Matt. They say, who will believe the report of the Lord? God is looking for somebody to believe in him and to believe his word. Jesus said that faith should be our primary focus. He said it's what God wants most out of us. John chapter 6 verse 28, watch this. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants. Well, how many of you know if he boils it all down to just one thing, that must be something pretty important. He said, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one whom he sent. How many of you believe in Jesus today? Come on, give God praise. You're doing the work God wants from you. You're already doing the work. You're believing in his son. God operates by faith. God's known by faith. We're in a covenant of faith. We're faith people. He's a faith God. Jesus wants to develop your faith and grow your faith this year and use your faith to write the next chapter in your life's legacy. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 tells us that Jesus himself is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that started writing the story, and I come to tell you that the chapter might be over, but the story isn't, and we're beginning a new chapter today, and I thank God that he's going to use your faith to write even greater stories for your future. Would you give him praise that your best days are ahead of you today? Amen. Come on, faith is the key to pleasing God this year. Number two, when we believe in God, big things happen. When we believe in God, big things happen. Hebrews chapter 11, if you look down at verse 32, after giving this list of specific things specific people did that we're going to get into this month, then he gives us this big collection in this paragraph, and he says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith. Somebody say faith. The faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, somebody say faith. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. That's a big deal. They ruled with justice. That's a big deal. We want rulers in our land of justice. And received what God had promised them. How many of you know receiving the promises of God is a big deal today? They shut the mouths of lions, Daniel. That's a big deal. They quenched the flames of fire. In other words, they stopped fire by faith and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned into strength by faith. They became strong in battle and put entire armies to flight. They sent them on the run in terror by faith. Women received their loved ones back again from death by faith. Can I tell you today that faith empowers ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things? Faith empowers people to do big things for God. And when we believe in God, big things begin to happen in our lives. By faith, we begin to understand His big picture and His big plan. By faith, we begin to pray bigger prayers. By faith, we start seeing the big picture. By faith, we make big decisions. By faith, we dream big dreams. By faith, we raise big kids. By faith, we build big relationships. By faith, we give Him a big praise. Come on, somebody give Him a big praise right now. By faith, we start living big lives. Can I tell you today, the Victory Church is a big place. But what you see in the natural is a reflection of what we believe. Can I tell you today that the average church in America is 75 people? There are going to be over 600 here today. When it was -9 on my way in this morning, 95% of startup churches that are pioneered like this one fail. Can I tell you, you're a part of something special today? Can I tell you, you're sitting in a place of faith today? Can I tell you, victory is here, not because of a man, but because we believe in a big God, and we think what He's done in us and among us and for us and through us is a big deal. And we think we're just getting started, and we think the best is yet to come, and we think as you connect, your life is going to see amazing transformations in huge ways because of the glory of Jesus Christ that permeates every atmosphere and part of your life and your home. You hear me talk about stuff that's big and you think, oh great, I got to quit my job and go to Africa and do something amazing that everybody's going to remember. Can I tell you that being happily married is a big deal? Raising kids for Christ is a big deal in our culture. Walking in God's plan for your life is a big deal. Living with a clear vision of God's purpose in your life is a big deal. Coming and connecting to the church God picked for you is a big deal. Which, let me remind you, don't forget, if you're not a member, sign up for membership class on January 21st at the info desk out in the lobby today. Leading someone to Jesus is a big deal. I mean, you know, 2% of believers in America will ever lead somebody to Jesus. Can I tell you that that's why America is now the third largest legitimate mission field on the planet, and Africa is sending missionaries to us because America is backslidden. I come to tell somebody, America loves Jesus, but a lot of them hate church. It's time for the church to be radiant. It's time for the church to be glorious. It's time for the church to stop talking and start walking and start showing people what the Jesus in the pages of that Bible look like, because they came running to Him and they'll run to you when you live like that. Finding fulfillment in what you do daily, that's a big deal. Growing in relationships and influence with other people is a big deal. Leaving a life that leaves a legacy is a big deal. Participating in your own life is a big deal. I'm tired of watching people sit on the sidelines of their own lives. God is calling us into higher levels of participation in life, in our families, in love, in the kingdom, in our family, in our community, in our nation, in the church. Come on, church. It's time to get off the sidelines and get in the game. It's time to stop being a spectator. God didn't call you to be on the sideline. God called you to be an MVP. And when you live what you learn, can I tell you, that's exactly what happens. We have a championship God, and he deserves a championship performance out of his people. Number three, mountains are big, but your faith is bigger. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, how many of you know mountains are big? If it's not big, it's not a mountain. That's pretty simple. Mountains are big. Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes, that's have faith, that those things he says will be done, he might have whatever he says. 6 out of 10 times he'll get what he said. He will have whatever he says. Can I tell you today that sometimes we go through big things in life? Some of y'all are going through some big stuff right now. You've got mountains in your way. But I want somebody to know that believing in God is bigger. Believing in God releases his power. I need a bigger anchor in my life because there is some stuff that tries to drag me away. There are some mountains that try to stand in my path. There are some things that try to block me from where I know God wants us to go. There are some things the devil uses to erect before me to keep us like roadblocks from the destination we're called to be. There are things God has put in your heart, visions and dreams and pictures of the life he created you to live. And I'm telling you, the devil's going to put stuff in your path. But your faith is bigger than your mountain. And your faith has the power to take that thing and remove it so that you can pass through into the things of God. Faith can meet your need. Faith can move your mountain. Faith marks my life for a manifestation of the miracle that I need from God in my life. Come on, doing something big is simply believing in God. And when you believe in God, it can be seen in your life. There is a movement in your life. Mountains are big, but faith is bigger. Number four, a little faith goes a long way. Somebody say, a little faith is all it takes. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, for assuredly I say to you, if you, look at your neighbor and say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. And Jesus didn't say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll come to me. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Why is a mustard seed significant? Because of how tiny a mustard seed is. Jesus is saying, a little faith is all it takes. If you have a little faith, you will say to something huge like a mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. But watch what he says next. And nothing will be impossible for you. He didn't say nothing will be impossible for me. We know that. We believe that. He said nothing will be impossible for you. I want to encourage somebody today to start expecting God to live the impossible life now. To live a life and accomplish things that you thought was never possible. Things that other people have spoken over you, you'll never do that, you'll never be that, you'll never amount to anything, that relationship is never going to make it, your kids are never going to come back, whatever it might be, to start believing God for the impossible right now. He said, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Let's just say that today. Nothing will be impossible for you. Let's say it again. Nothing will be impossible for you. Let's make it personal, because we believe it for our neighbor, but not for ourselves. Somebody say, nothing will be impossible for me. Let's say it again. Nothing will be impossible for me. Come on, say it like you mean it today. Nothing will be impossible for me. That was horrible. We were all kind of lost. Let's sync it up and get it together. Follow me. Nothing will be impossible for me. If you believe that, give God praise. I believe that. I actually believe it. Very simply, because God said it. When we believe in God, big things happen. When we believe in God, big things happen. Faith is not something we use to manipulate God to get what we want. Faith is a gift God has given each of us to accomplish what he wants. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. God uses big language. Jesus is talking to us about moving mountains. That is absolutely impossible. That sounds ridiculous in the natural. It's like, okay, it's like you almost want to write this guy Jesus off completely, because it's like, are you kidding me right now? I can move a mountain by speaking to it. No, that doesn't even add up. But the reality is, that's exactly what God said can and will happen. God uses big language in His Word because He wants you to have big faith in Him. Very simply, because when you have big faith in Him, you live a big life. And big lives honor Jesus Christ, because He paid a big price for you to enjoy what God created you for. Are you thankful today for what He did at Calvary? Amen. Number five today. What you believe determines what you'll receive. What you believe determines what you'll receive. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, we have this story of two guys that come to Him and they're blind. And it says, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe I am able to do this? And they said to Him, yes, Lord. And then He touched their eyes, saying, and this is the catchphrase you need to get, according to my faith. Jesus said, according to what? Your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Well, I believe that it happened exactly like the Bible says it happened. That Jesus literally, not spiritually, literally healed two blind men who could not see. And God opened their eyes. And today they can see, or at that moment they could see because of what God did for them. He said, according to your faith. Somebody say according. That word according in the Greek means in the same measure as. So Jesus said, in the same measure as your faith, I will do it for you. Or to the exact degree. He says, I will meet your need according to the degree of your faith. I love the way the Message Bible says it. The Message Bible says, become what you believe. Well, I believe with all my heart that's what happens. Whether you realize it or not, we become what we believe. If people say we can't, we believe it, then we don't. Isn't that right? Henry Ford. Whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He said, become what you believe. We receive what we believe. What we believe determines what we receive and how we receive from God. Jesus was telling the man, if you can believe me for it, then you can have it. If you can believe me for it, then you can have it. What is it God has put in your heart today? He said He'd give you the desires of your heart. What is it you're believing God for today? Because He says, according to your faith, you can have it. If you can believe, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. If you can believe, they said if to Jesus. Jesus said, it's not if I can, it's if you can. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Are there any believers in the house today? Right? All things are possible to you because you believe. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy Johnson to come up here and join. Actually, I'll come down to you. Come on, brother. God touched him a few months ago and healed his eyes. And he came to me this morning and he said, I'm believing God. And the doctor told him that there was a bacterial infection that had gotten in there. 1 out of 5,000 thing that takes place, and it happened to be him. And he's believing God to restore his sight totally in his eyes and make him completely whole. How many of y'all believe God can do it this morning? Marcia and Zoe, would you join me? Brother Jimmy, if you just take your glasses off. Congregation, reach your hands this way in faith. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we ask according to your word. We're not making it up, but God, we ask that you would heal Brother Jimmy's eye. We ask that you would restore his sight. We rebuke that infection. We command that eye to function properly and perfectly. Restore perfect vision in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that it's done. We apply the blood over him and we rebuke this attack of the enemy against him. And we claim the promise that by Jesus' stripes, he is healed right now. I release the power of God into that area of his eye. Lord, let your kingdom come in his eye as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you that it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you give God praise that it's accomplished? Amen. God is able. He said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. So God says, I will do it for you according to where you put your faith. Which brings me to number six. Your life will never rise above your faith. This is important. Your life will never rise above your faith. Who we are and who we will become can never rise above our level of faith. Little faith means little God. Little God means we live little lives. Very narrow-minded, very small-minded. I don't know about you. I love country music. I love Alan Jackson, but I come to tell you today at Victory, it's not all right to be itty-bitty. Little hometown, big old city. That's not okay. Here's why. When you have big faith in Jesus, you live a big life. Big lives honor Jesus Christ because Jesus paid a big price for us. He is deserving of bigger things out of our lives. He is deserving of us to ask for big things and expect big things, not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. Can you give Him praise right now? Amen. Amen. Big faith equals big God. Big God equals big life. My question for you is, how big is your God? How big is your God? How powerful is your God? How able is your God? How willing is your God? How good is your God? How generous is your God? How loving is your God? I had Anna come pray for me some time back. I had a headache and couldn't get rid of it. Sometimes I have the kids come lay hands on me. I said, Anna, come pray for me. And she said, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you heal Daddy's head from this headache. And she said, I pray that he'd never have a headache again in his life. Can I tell you, that's big faith. According to your faith. And so I just came into agreement. I was like, I receive it right now. No headache ever again in my life. Ephesians 3:20 tells us God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or even begin to think. We will never reach any higher than our faith in the power and ability and willingness of God. You will live a life that reflects what you believe about your God. My kids are a reflection of their parents. I love talking to people's kids because I get to see what you're all about. So you're all going to be like, don't near that man again. Kids are a reflection of their parents. But here's my question. This one ought to stick you today. What kind of reflection of your Father in heaven are you? Uh-oh. What kind of reflection? If kids are a reflection of their parents, what kind of reflection of our Father in heaven are we? How big is our Father? How good is our Father? How loving is our Father? How kind is our Father? How generous is our Father? How victorious is our Father today? Well, I come to tell you, the Word of God says He is all of those things, and that ought to show up in our lives. It ought to show up in the lives of His kids, and the world ought to see and know the kind of God we serve just simply from watching us and looking into our windows. Ask the worship team to join me today. Number seven, maybe the most important thing I say today. Number seven is simply this. Big faith is not a rare gift. Big faith is not a rare gift. Somebody would say, man, they got big faith. And I was just in the back of the line when God passed out that on that day. That's for some people, but it's not for me. I want to tell you that it's for every single believer. It's for every single believer. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, God has given to each man a measure of faith. Somebody say, I have more than enough faith. It's already there. Listen to this closely. Faith is our response to God's grace. Faith is our response to God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm going to show you right here to wrap things up how you can possess God's very best for your life this year. It says, for by grace you have been saved. How are you saved? By grace through faith. Salvation came to me by grace through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace. Somebody say grace. Grace is spelled G-R-A-C-E. I like this acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace literally means unmerited favor. It's unearned or an undeserved blessing. That means God's best belongs to you right now. Somebody say, God's best belongs to me right now. Now here's why. Not because of what you've done, so don't disqualify yourself. It's because of what Jesus has done for you. Every person in this room has had some things that were unfair done to you. I want you to know that Jesus wants to do some things to bless you that are unfair for you. I said, every one of us has had some unfair stuff done to us, but God wants to do some unfair stuff for us. There's a blessing that is awaiting every believer, greater than you can ever even imagine. And once you have a revelation of His grace, that it's already bought and paid for, He put it on layaway, He's just waiting on you to stop by and pick it up by faith and say, I'm ready to enter in and enjoy what You've already provided. Grace, then, is a free gift. Grace is a free gift. What is grace? A free gift. What is grace? What is grace? What is faith? What is faith? Believing in God. What is grace? A free gift. What is faith? What is grace? A free gift. What is faith? Believing in God. Now I'm going to ask Anna, my oldest, to come join me. Anna, come up here, baby. Grace is a free gift. Faith is believing in God. God has already said yes to every promise to every believer in His word. Jesus is the yes and amen. Most people think if they don't receive something that it wasn't God's will that they have it. But I want to tell you today at Victory that God doesn't determine whether or not you walk in His promises. You do. God doesn't determine whether or not you're blessed. You do. God doesn't determine whether or not you live with His wisdom and guidance. You do. God doesn't determine whether or not we're free or have purpose or peace or health or provision or protection. We determine all those things. So the question then becomes, how do I access what is already mine? How do I access my inheritance? And the answer is, I receive it the same way I got saved. I receive salvation by grace through faith. I receive healing in my body by grace through faith. I receive deliverance in my life by grace through faith. I receive forgiveness in my life by grace through faith. I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. I am protected and free by grace through faith. What is grace? A free gift. What is faith? Okay. What God has provided by His grace, we have to obtain through faith. Faith takes hold of what grace made available. Now, I need you to do me a favor, Anna, and help me open that pen up. And I want you to write on each of my fingers the word G, the letter G, R, A, C, E. All right? What's that spell?
Grace.
Grace. What's that spell?
Grace.
What is grace? A free gift. Now, let me see your hand. Hold your fingers up. Now, I'm going to write on yours, and I'm going to write on your pinky. F. A, Mama's going to pound me for writing on your hands. I-T-H. Hold your hand up where everybody can see it. What does that spell? Okay. What does my hand say?
Grace.
What does her hand say?
Grace.
Now, today, Daddy's going to play God. And my hand says what?
Grace.
Help me, Anna. What does my hand say?
Grace.
Who am I?
God.
Okay. And you're going to be you. You're a believer. You're born again. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me see. Here you say, woohoo.
Woohoo.
Okay. What does your hand say?
Faith.
Faith. Grace is my job. What's your job?
Being a normal person.
Being a normal person. Are you saying I'm not a normal person? Don't answer that question today. All right. Grace is God's hand extended toward me. Faith, reached toward me, is our hand extended towards God. Right? Grace is God's hand extended towards me. Faith is our hand extended towards God. Can I tell you that God's hand is always out? Jesus died with His arms open and His hands open, His palms up. Come to me. Receive from me. Amen? The hand of God's grace is already filled with everything Jesus bought and paid for by His blood at Calvary. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every promise in God's word is already paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now, I didn't have these up here today, these candies, because Marcia needed a snack during praise and worship. Although I thought she was eyeing that Reese's cup. But anyway, these represent the promises of God. And so my hand is grace. What is grace? A free gift. What is faith? Believing in God. And so God extends His hand of grace to us, and we reach out by faith, and we take hold of what God offers us. And Anna, what did you just do?
I grabbed a Kit Kat.
You grabbed the Kit Kat. And what does the Kit Kat say on it?
Victory.
Victory. And what's the scripture?
1 Corinthians 15:57.
Well, that's one of our favorites. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? The born-again believer reached out by faith and took hold of what grace made available. She reached out by faith and grabbed hold of victory, and she pulled it back in her life. Can you give God praise that Anna's got the victory now? Now watch this. Anybody else want to get in on the blessings of God? Just raise your hand right here. Come on, buddy. Reach out by faith and take hold of one. What do you got there? Forgiveness. And what's the scripture? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's some times we need forgiveness, isn't there? Would you give God praise that my brother right here got forgiveness in his life? Come on, somebody else want a blessing from God? What? Here, right here, my man. What you got a hold of? What's it say?
It says Power Acts 1:8.
Power, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness unto me in all the earth. Can you give God praise that my brother just got power of the Holy Ghost in his life? He reached out by faith and he took a hold of what the hand of grace made available, and now he is a difference maker. Somebody else today, just you keep it, man. Eat it. Feed on it. Go on. Jump on that. What's that say?
Freedom.
Freedom.
Colossians 1:13.
Colossians 1:13. Oh, baby, this is one of my favorites, Mr. Tom. But God has, past tense, already delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the Son of His love. Can you give God praise that Tom got set free and found deliverance for today in his life by reaching out in faith and taking hold of what God extended? I'm going to come over here on this side. Is there somebody who wants what God's got for you in your life? Anybody? Right here. Go on, Miss Yvette. What's that say?
Healing.
Healing. And what's the scripture?
1 Peter 2:24,
that says, by his stripes, Miss Yvette is healed. Can somebody give God praise that she is whole today? There was something missing, and now it's not. There was something broken, and Jesus has made her completely whole. Come on, brother. Reach out by faith and take something from grace. What's it say? Provision. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He just reached out by faith and took from grace provision. Would you give God praise that he moved in his life today? Carla, come on, reach out by faith and take you a blessing from the hand of grace. What does yours say? Joy, John 15:11. Jesus said, my joy I give to you, hallelujah, that your joy might be full. Mickey, reach out by faith and take something from the hand of grace. What does yours say today?
Purpose.
Purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Can I tell you, church, God's hand of grace is already out and available to you, and it's up to us to extend our hand of faith and receive what God desires to give us. It's not up to God, it's up to us. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. The good news is he already said yes and amen, and he's just been waiting for somebody to reach out and take hold by faith of the promise that's already available. Come on and give him praise if you believe it today. Here's the deal. We say things like this, Anna. We say, I just need more faith. If I just had more faith then. But the reality is your faith was enough to unlock salvation in your life. Your faith was enough to release God's grace. It was through your faith that God met the greatest need of your life. It was through your faith that you received the greatest miracle in your life. It's through faith that you were born again. It's through faith that you've canceled the greatest debt of your life, the debt of sin. It's through faith that you've been healed of the most gruesome and ugly, disgusting disease known to man. You were stage 4 with terminal cancer, but the spirit of life in Christ has destroyed the spirit of sin and death. It was your faith, church, that restored the most important broken relationship in your life, a relationship with the Father reconciled by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was your faith that did more than move a mountain. It moved your spiritual address out from Satan's slums of sin and into the family of God. Your faith has made you an heir of God. Your faith has made you a joint heir with Jesus. Your faith has seated you and sealed you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your faith in the promises of God is preparing for you a home, not a shack, not a shanty, not a closet in some corner, but a mansion in that city, bright and fair, where there is no crying and no sighing and no more dying. Hallelujah. You don't know Jesus like I know Jesus. You don't need more faith today. You just need to use what He's already given you. Reach out and take hold of it by faith. Hey, what are you doing? What did you get? What is it? That's your favorite. Salvation, Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved, baby? Ask Jesus into your heart. Let me tell you right now, God said the kingdom of God belongs to those with childlike faith. He said children just like her. Do you see what she did? Do you see what she did? This one had to be told. Come to daddy, take what you want. Some of you need to be told. But some of you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Something rises up on the inside of her and gets out of her seat and comes down front and doesn't care who's watching and gets on the platform and says, I'm taking what's mine. This one said he did it for everybody else. He better do it for me. Can I tell you that's exactly what God wants? She wasn't prompted. She wasn't coached. That just came up in her on her own. That's exactly what God wants. Today, you have a big revelation of faith. Today, God has increased your capacity for faith. All across this room, I want you to lay your hands on your belly and close your eyes. Repeat after me. Say, I have more than enough faith. I have God-sized faith. I can live a God-sized life. The promises of God belong to me. I am worthy, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. No mountain is a match for my faith. I believe in my heart, and I will speak with my mouth. I will use my faith to frame the life God has called me to live. Victory is mine in Jesus' name. Come on, can you give Him thanks and praise today? That He is more than able and He's more than enough.